Turn tonight to Philippians chapter 3, and I want to begin reading this evening with verse 20 of chapter 3, and read through the first verse of chapter 4, and I've entitled my thought this evening, my message tonight, the idea, just stand your ground, just stand your ground. And I'm taking that from the context of verse 4, where Paul says, stand fast in the Lord. But let me now begin reading at verse number 20. He says, for our conversation, conduct, manner of life, so to speak, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. So you'll notice now he couples chapter 4. He draws from the context, the thought of chapter 3, he uses the word therefore, which identifies the connection. And then I would take it that based upon all of the great truths previously covered that we've just read, then he says, take that, go with it, stand fast. We have every reason, every motivation, every sustenance, every need supplied to stand fast. We have a good future. God's taking care of our needs. He's going to change our vile body. And so just put it all together. And the challenge and the thought is stand fast. Just stand your ground, so to speak. And that's what I want to speak on. Father, let's pray tonight. Father in heaven, I come to you in prayer, and I pray this evening your blessings upon the reading of this passage of Scripture. And now, Father, I pray that you would enable these stammering lips, this body of dust this evening, to proclaim the truth that the Holy Spirit will see fit to use to drive the message into our hearts and lives and motivate action on all of our parts to stand fast in the Lord. Father, I do pray this evening for the request that upon our the names upon our prayer list. For Brother Richard this evening, that you'd comfort him in the loss of his mother. And then I pray for Brother Dean tonight. As Shayla was telling me, he's had a insect bite that possibly has gotten him sick. And I pray that you would help him and help him, Lord, to get through this without any issues. Now, Lord, this evening, bless us as, again, we look into your word. We'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. The Apostle Paul, verse 1, he said, stand fast in the Lord. Stand fast. That's a good thought. I heard of a man one time that had a horse, and someone asked him, he said, does that horse run fast? The man said, no, but it stands fast. Now, these words in this text convey the practical side of Christianity. Stand fast. Practical side of Christianity. Now, in scriptures, there's a numerous amount of scriptures that reference the issue of standing. We could spend the whole service tonight, bring an entire message built around the thought of standing. Now, I'm thinking of Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 13, where Paul said, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Then I think of Exodus chapter 14, verse number 13, where it says, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them no more forever. He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I believe this evening that it's important that you and I be reminded to continue to take our stand, to continue to stand still, to stand fast. It's important that we be reminded of that. It's easier to talk about standing still than it is to practice it. But by the grace of God, we certainly can. We can stand still. The ground we stand on, by the way, when you consider who we are, what we have in Christ Jesus, and the blessed privilege of being justified, we can say tonight that the ground on which we stand on, taking now the thought, stand still, may I say tonight the ground on which we stand on is hallowed ground and is worthy of the stand. It's going to take an eternity for you and myself to understand fully the implications of being a Christian, of being blessed, of being privileged, with being able to say in the words of that old song, on Christ the solid rock I stand. So the ground is hallowed in a sense. I think of Abraham Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. He spoke of the battlefield. He spoke of it as being hallowed, the battle site as being hallowed ground. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 23. He said, if you continue in the faith grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you've heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. He says, be not moved. Philippians 4, 1 again, stand fast. Now, the question tonight is this. Why should we stand fast? And secondly, how can we stand fast? Why should we and how can we? I'm not so sure tonight, but what you don't already know the answer to that question. But sometimes it doesn't hurt to have a refresher course, does it? We need to be reminded. You see, we're a hard-headed bunch of people spiritually, aren't we? We seem to forget. We need to be prodded and we need to be reminded. In fact, there's scriptures that bear that same thought out. We need to be reminded. He doubles down by saying something here that I find it to be quite a blessing. Notice verse 1, chapter 4 again. Now, by the way, here's where I'm going with this. Why should we stand fast? How do we stand fast? Well, there's volumes of truth found in verse 1 of chapter 4, isn't there? He doubles down on a great truth. Notice how it reads here. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved. Make note of that. And long for my joy and crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. He doubles down on that, saying it twice, dearly beloved. In other words, Paul would remind these people, they are the people of God. They are the people of God that makes them enabled by God to stand because of whose they are. They're referenced as being in the Lord. In the Lord. What a great place to be. What a great person to be, I should say. In the Lord. You see, we have fled to Him for refuge. We are refugees of grace. Are we not? Refugees of grace. Now in Philippians chapter 4 verse number 19, you all know the verse. You've quoted it many times. You've memorized it. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So God is our need supplier. A command is automatically met with God's provision. He says, stand fast. And God would never ask anyone, as far as His people, to do anything, but what His grace wouldn't supply the need to get it done. He's a need supplier. We can say tonight that the same God who puts food on the table, clothes on our back, joy in our hearts, gives us grace to stand. Gives us grace to stand. Remember now that a command is met with a promise. met with a promise. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10. Here, note this verse. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You know, it's refreshing. It's certainly interesting to read this entire book and notice the burden that Paul had. It's also interesting to probe into his prayer life. You know, when you read chapter 1 of Philippians, you find him praying for the people there at Philippi, and you will notice the content of his prayer, which, by the way, you and I can take a good cue from, as he prays for those Philippian believers, he prays for their spiritual health. Their spiritual health. In fact, in verses 9 and 10, and this I pray, note this, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may become sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. He prays for the very thing that will sustain them and help them and empower them to stand fast. He prays for their spiritual stamina. He prays that they might be able to discern, to understand, to be able to approve things that are excellent. Now, you know, tonight, I fully get it. As a local church, we come to church almost every time with prayer requests. And I kind of feel a little bit like a broken record sometime when I say that when it comes to prayer requests, I believe we just need to keep a good balance. As we pray for those with physical needs, we need to pray for those that lack spiritual sustenance in their lives. We need to pray for the unsaved. We need to pray for those that need to be ministered to and helped spiritually. We need to pray for those that have become cold and indifferent. We need to pray for those who have fallen by the wayside. We need to pray for one another that our eyes, that our spiritual eyes might be opened more, that we might be able to understand more and see things more clearly that really matter. But most of our praying has to do with the physical. And I'm not saying that tonight rebuking anyone, but I'm just saying that we probably do need to examine the content of our praying. There's more that needs to be prayed for besides just, Lord, heal the sick. And we want them all healed. We want to see that. But note that again. Read Paul's prayer. It'll do something for you. I pray that your love may abound. And by the way, that's in the form of a prayer, isn't it? Yet more and more in knowledge and in judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent. Do you know what will help a church as much as anything when it comes to the matter of spiritual strength and spiritual growth and healthy spirituality? It's when the people of God in a given local assembly of believers have good spiritual discernment. Have good spiritual discernment. And that was one thing we noticed that he was praying for. That they have good spiritual discernment. You know, it's easy in a good church where the truth is preached, where we're blessed with what we have. We're not a big church, but thank God I think we're a good church. We're old fashioned. And God's been good to us, but it's easy while we're in a church such as this, to still lose ground spiritually. To still become indifferent. It is a continual spiritual warfare we're in. We need to be reminded of that. And we need to pray regularly that God will help our eyes to be open. Just like the servant of Elisha. They were being intimidated by the enemy. And the prophet prayed and the servant's eyes were opened and he saw nothing but the host of God reinforcing and supporting and on the side of the people of God. And it didn't look good seeing through the physical eyes, but when his eyes were opened, he saw what God was going to do. And that's what we need tonight, don't we? And actually, we need that to stand fast. His prayer and burden were focused along the same line, stand fast. May I say tonight that Christianity is more than a good start. It's about standing. It's about finishing well. I see people, I've seen this down through the years. That's one of the great advantages of pastoring many years. You see a lot of things. You learn a lot of things. You make note of a lot of things. You see patterns. And I've seen this many times. I've known people to come to church with all kinds of zeal. They're emotionally charged up and they're saying, I want to serve God. And the next thing you know, you can't find them. Have you ever wondered about that? They come in like a riding a stallion, on fire, going to do all of these things. And then the next thing you know, you can't even find them. You have to send out an FBI agent sometime to even locate where they are. What's happened? What causes people to lose their zeal? What causes people to drop the cause? What causes people to not continue on? What causes people to not stand fast? It's because many times they're just not grounded in the truth, for one thing. The spiritual eyes have not been opened as it should be. I'm going to tell you, it's worth, David said, is there not a cause? Maybe we be reminded constantly, yes, there is a cause. Our cause is a good cause. We serve God for a reason. We stand for Him for a reason. And I'll tell you, it's going to be worth it all one day when we see Jesus. But I'll tell you, eternity, the judgment seat of Christ, will reveal fully the reason as to why it's good to stand fast, to be faithful, to keep our boots on, so to speak, and keep on marching and serving God. Stand fast. Many times people, unfortunately, they get their feelings hurt. Sometimes they forget about their commitments. But the problem is, some do not continue standing fast. They lose their bearing. They fall down. They drop the ball. And here are the implications of that. When Christians are not standing fast, they're hurting the cause of Christ. They're dropping the ball. They're disappointing fellow Christians. And in the long run, they're hurting the cause of Christ. They are. You see, when we trusted the Lord Jesus as our Savior, we underwent a cause. It's going to take an eternity for us to understand how great it is. It's not to be taken lightly. What God has done for us, the privilege of being saved, the blessing of being in the ministry, my goodness, it's worth all the sweat, all the tears, all of the effort, all of the commitment. It's worth standing still, standing fast. It's worth it. These words, by the way, and here's a good point, don't forget this. These words were written from jail. From jail. Now, does that say anything? Written from jail. Prison epistle. Every Christian is a fellow soldier. We're a team player. We're a rope holder. We're a link in the chain. And every weak link or loose link weakens the unit. It does. Standing fast requires more than a feel-good moment. It requires more than an emotional spasm. Imagine the impact. Think about this tonight. Imagine the impact on a military unit if soldiers only showed up for duty when they felt like it. Imagine the impact. Imagine the success of a business if employees only came when they feel like it. Everything would break down. I've said it many times, I'll say it again. If people in the business world treated their commitment to their work like many Christians treat their commitment to God and the local church, they'd be out on the street in a hurry. That's a fact. I mean, is there any cause any greater than what we're doing here for God? Is there anything any more important, any more significant than being a soldier of Christ, a servant of God? If anything should be taken seriously, it ought to be the work of God, shouldn't it? Church life, church work, church ministry, if not designed by the standard of scriptures, is nothing but a hit and miss thing. But it's designed by the scriptures. It includes a coordinated ministry with all members carrying their part of the load. Every one of us are to be equally having our shoulders to the task, doing our part, carrying our load, having our contribution to the big cause. Church ministry effectiveness is really impacted, and I've got to say this for what it's worth. Church ministry effectiveness is really impacted negatively when the leadership elements of any given local church do not lead by example. Do I look like I'm mad when I just said that? No, not am I. I believe in our church. I believe that the pastor's got to lead by example. The deacons have to lead by example. The Sunday school teachers have to lead by example. The active ministry people need to be leading by example, because after all, people look to us. There's a breakdown when there's a breakdown in that. People in a church have a right to expect its leaders to be the frontline soldiers. Have you ever noticed any time a preacher gets up and says, "Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to preach tonight on John chapter 14. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions." And then you can hear it being echoed across the congregation. "Amen, preacher. Here comes a sermon about heaven." Then sometimes we preach about the goodness of God, and you hear people say, "Amen, preacher, God is good." Then we talk about God shall supply all of our needs. People say, "Amen, doesn't he do just that?" But then, there's a deafening silence whenever you start meddling in reminding people within a local church that we're all in this together. And we need to be faithful, we need to be steadfast. And here comes that old broken record again of me. Where in the world, or when in the world, are we going to start seeing back in church some of the people that got knocked out with COVID? Are they ever going to come back to church? Again, do I look mad? We need the assembly together of God's people. We are social people. We need one another. And we need to be standing fast, serving God together. And this church needs to be growing instead of declining as a result of COVID. Few puny amens at least. Should have been a few more. But I just believe tonight that God has raised up local churches, and people that make up these churches need to do their part. You say, "Pastor Peters, you were doing pretty good. You got that nosy." Well, I'm sorry, but it's going to happen again. I'll keep preaching it as long as I have breath in my lungs, because we're not playing games around here, are we? This is serious business. We want to see this ministry flourish. This attitude, us four no more, that won't cut it. There's too many empty pews tonight. And where are the people? Stand fast. Standing fast in the Lord will take care of a lot of these issues. Philippians 2 verses 12 and 13. Note this. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Isn't it a wonderful thing to know that Christian work is a furnished work? It is a furnished work. My God shall supply all your need. Work it out, and it's him that worketh in us both to will and do of good pleasure. So it's still, in the end, a furnished work. Our work for him is energized by the realization that his redemptive work in us will be completed. It will be completed. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in us will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6. It keeps us going, doesn't it? It keeps us motivated. It keeps us pumped up. It keeps us energized to realize that the one that started the work within us will complete it. One thing we can count on, God will never drop the ball. We might, but he won't. He'll never drop the ball. We have every reason to stand our ground because we stand on the solid rock and have more going for us than against us. We work out what he's worked in. He will complete our sanctification in the state of glory at his appearance. I've got three quick points. And you say you're waiting kind of late to lay these points on me, aren't you? It's 10 till. Well, I'll hurry. Trust me. We need to stand, here it is, we need to stand our ground because of whose we are and where we are. Because of whose we are and where we are. Verse 1, my brethren, dearly beloved, note this, in the Lord. In the Lord, that makes us his. Chapter 3, verse 20. Note that, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So now, considering whose we are, where we are, what we have, then, my goodness, why not stand fast? We have every reason to, don't we? We have every reason to. It's a part of the nature of God's people to stand fast. Our heart, our motive, our walk and talk matches the culture of our roots. Now, have you ever met anybody that looked as rough as a cob on the exterior, but when they get to talking to you, they're just as kind and gentle as you'll ever know. Then on the other hand, have you ever met anybody that looked real cultured? They look like a textbook version of a country gentleman, let's say. I mean, they look dignified. And then when they open their mouths, they betray what they look like. We knew this guy in West Virginia. This fella, I'm telling you what, he looked like a diplomat. He looked like someone that just stepped out of Washington. He looked like a politician or diplomat or an ambassador. In other words, he looked like he was high up on the chain. All decked out, had gray hair. I mean, you look at the guy and you almost melt in his presence. You feel ashamed to say anything because you're thinking the man's going to cut me down. He epitomizes brilliance in his appearance. But this guy that I'm thinking about tonight has been in heaven now a few years. When he opened his mouth, you'd never know. In fact, you take your glasses off and put them back on and look at him. You talking about a country bumpkin. Well now, why am I using that illustration? Well, I believe this though. Actually, when it's all said and done, we are partakers of divine nature. We are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We're a new creature in Christ Jesus. And so, we actually have the spiritual root, the spiritual background, the spiritual DNA to have a desire to want to please the Lord. And we didn't have that before, did we? It's somewhat natural. We really can't hide but so much who we are. We're citizens of heaven. We're marked. We're stand type. We're the stand fast type of people because of what God's made us. We have the spiritual DNA to stand fast. Just like this, you can tell Americans when they travel abroad. You travel abroad. If you see someone from America walking down the street, it doesn't take you too long to figure out they're from America. Got their big camera out taking pictures or whatever. But now you don't have to have a big camera. Just your cell phone will work, of course. But you can tell how an American conducts themselves. They're betraying the country from where they're from. Just like you can tell a Japanese when you see one. I'm talking about not just by their appearance, but they really do like to take pictures, don't they? Carol and I used to joke about that all the time. We'd be somewhere and we'd say, well, there's another Japanese. Snap, snap, snaps. I mean, they really love taking pictures. But you see, what I'm saying tonight is what we are by the grace of God does define our nature anyway. Not to say we don't need to be challenged and stirred, but yet at the same time, we have the DNA. We have the ability by the grace of God to stand fast. We can't get too far from our upbringing, really, as a Christian. I went to the infamous Alcatraz years ago on vacation with Carol and Carrie. And I was on Alcatraz, I would remind you tonight, not as an inmate now, but as a tourist. And some of you may have been there, but we wore those little silly headphones. And you'd walk around, and there would be an individual, a voice inside the headphone. You'd be walking through the facility there. And the voice would be guiding you, telling you what took place in this particular place. And here I am, got the headphone on, and Carol and Carrie had already finished the tour. They had taken their headphones off, and they were seated up front, waiting for me to get through, gawking and looking at everything, you know, in that building. And I just kind of, for a moment, lost sense of where I was and what I was doing. Now, and by the way, the voices echo in that room anyway, if you've ever been there, just the way the building was designed. And I had the headphones on, and I couldn't hear myself talk because I'm listening to the voice inside the headphones. So I holler out real loud. I said, Carrie, have y'all seen this? Look at this. And I mean, everybody in that room stopped and looked at me because they didn't realize it. I was making a scene. So I embarrassed my family that day. Now, if I would have been more of a cultured type person, plus using a little common sense, I probably wouldn't have done that. But we're who we are. And I tell you what, I'm 75 years of age, and to this very day, and I've been out of West Virginia for a long time, but West Virginia comes out of me constantly, as you probably noticed. We're just basically what we are. And now let me carry this to what I'm talking about tonight. The markings of the Savior. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We are aliens on this earth. We're strangers and pilgrims passing through. We're partakers of the high calling, the holy calling, and the heavenly calling. We have every reason tonight to stand fast. Because of whose we are. Then, secondly, we need to stand our ground because of what we are to be. Verse 21, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Our expectation, our uplook, our outlook, motivate our standing fast. These vile bodies are in for a complete makeover, aren't they? Complete makeover. You've heard the expression, so-and-so is laughing his way all the way to the bank. You ever hear that before? Well, I'll tell you something. I've got another way of stating that tonight. The people of God ought to be rejoicing all their way to glory. We really should. We're in for a change. In for a change. Paul said, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And then you keep reading how he develops that thought. The dead shall be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. Where are we tonight in these bodies? Well, let me put it like this. Our bodies tonight are between the tree and the trumpet. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor? What about Adam and his sin? What about the disobedient act? The tree they plucked that fruit from. Their eyes were then opened. I'm just using it. This is an illustration. So we're between a tree and the trumpet. But when the trumpet sounds, when the Lord returns, when the rapture of the church takes place, we will be glorified. We will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. If we happen to be living when Christ comes, we will be translated in his likeness. You talking about stimulation to stand fast. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now we're the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We need to stand fast tonight because of what we will be. We are to stand our ground because of whose we are, where we are, and because of what we one day will be. And then also too, and by the way, my third point, and I'm through, we need to stand fast because it's an explicit order. Because of an explicit order from the highest command. The explicit order from the highest command. Every military person understands this language. When I was in uniform, if there was the expectation of a high command coming to our unit for a visit, when he would show up or she would show up, you could hurry up and believe we wanted to be ready. And we definitely would render proper respect to high command. We definitely would. Excuse me. Say if the general came, someone like that, you know what is expected, Brother Larry, of military people. Now look at it like this. The Bible says stand fast. We tonight can look at this from the standpoint we're to stand fast, stand our ground, because it's an explicit order from the highest command. Who is any higher command than God himself? Stand fast. I remind us all tonight, we're reading that which is written under inspiration. Paul just didn't, when he was in jail, decide to write a few books, put a few words down on paper. He wrote under inspiration. Stand fast. And you know, and again, and I'm about done here, again, I see another real good reason why we ought to stand fast, because in a sense, God's buttered us up a little bit. You know what I mean by that? All right, look at verse Well, chapter 4, verse 1, right there it is before you. Notice how he again addresses them. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, longed for, my joy, my crown. Now, I'm not being sacrilegious or anything, but it's all, we're using the terminology we use. God's even buttered us up. I mean, look at the kind words. Look at how we're addressed. I mean, if someone walks up to you, and they'll just butter you up and speak so kind to you and smile, and I mean, they're saying, I love you, and they're just kind, and then they turn around, and then they ask you for a favor. Don't you find it a lot easier to do what someone asks you to do if they buttered you up? You see, these are true, honest, sincere, and endearing words, which assure a future satisfaction and pleasure for Christians. For Christians have a satisfying future coming. Today, we did like a lot of you, we ate in a restaurant. And you know, things have changed in eating in restaurants from when I was just a boy. I mean, the approach now of waitresses is totally different than what it used to be. It used to be a waitress would come up to you, sir, what can I help you with? Ma'am, what can I help you with? But you know, now things have changed. You go in a restaurant now, and you always know that your age is beginning to show. If waitresses start out by addressing you, honey bun, sweetie pie, darling, sugar, love. But what happens though, is many times they butter you up and then they let you down by the meal served. I can't tell you, I'm going to tell on this lady again. I think I would have a heart attack. I'd faint. I might even give up the ghost. If I ever go in a restaurant with Carol and we order a meal, I don't care where it is. It could be at Ruth's Steakhouse. I mean, you name the richest place in town. I can guarantee you when we sit down, get ready to eat, ma'am, these potatoes are too lumpy. Or, here's a big one. This is too spicy. I can see a divorce coming. Well, I'm going to try my best because I've got to finish here anyway. But keep this in mind. We need to stand fast because God says to stand fast. We need to stand fast because he says it. And a command in the scripture is just as sacred as a promise. And by the way, a command and a promise from God will automatically be met with God's provision. He'll never ask us to do anything but what his grace won't supply, the energy to do it and the resources to do it. So this evening in closing, again, stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Keep doing what you're doing for the Lord. Keep serving him, loving him, living for him. If everybody around decide to go the opposite direction, you keep doing what you're doing, because that's the right thing to do. Be guided by the command of Scripture, not the whim of emotions. Just do it because God says it, whether you feel like it or not. And at the end of the day, God will bless you. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, this evening, help us, Lord, to take these practical words and, Lord, to apply them into our living and into our life. Bless this invitation. If there's needs of someone this evening, tonight, in this church service, maybe coming forward at an invitation, maybe kneeling at an altar, bowing down before you this evening and asking you to help and direct them in some area of life that maybe the Holy Spirit has put His finger on tonight, I pray that they would do that business with God tonight as we come to this invitation song. Then, Lord, if there's someone this evening that's watching that's not a Christian, may they right now, through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, be brought to the fact of realization of their sin issue, their sin problem. And may they realize tonight that Jesus took care of their sin debt for them on Calvary. And may they call upon Him, trusting Him for their salvation. Lord, I pray this evening that all of us will go out of this building tonight more determined than ever to stand fast by the grace of God. And we know it's for the glory of God. Bless this invitation. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.